Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Who better to talk about all things baseball than our Indians beat reporter? He is Alex Hooper, and he joins us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Hello, Hoop.
Hoop, what's up?
What's up, guys? I didn't think I'd be talking baseball right now, even though, I mean, I guess nothing's been done, but still. It feels so far gone at this point.
What feels so far gone? What do you mean? The season?
The season. It feels like it's been forever. I expected to be covering things into late October, early November, and it's just been so long, it feels like I haven't talked baseball in so long.
Well, we're here to help. It's a baseball therapy Wednesday.
Yeah, just for you.
Thank you.
Where do you want to start? Free agency?
I mean, yeah, unless you want me to tell you that Corey Kluber is probably going to win the Cy Young over and over again, I think that's the place to start.
Do you think that's a slam dunk? Because I asked Chris Rose that last hour. He said he should win, but I don't know that it's a slam dunk.
I personally think it's a slam dunk, but I also got to see the guy pitch over and over and over this year. So, I mean, if there's any bias on my part, that's where it comes from.
Sure.
The overexposure, but I think so. I think the national narrative really started to turn at the end of the year. I think the East Coast guys will still, you know, give Chris Sale some votes. I think he might get a couple first-place votes, but I think as much a slam dunk as it can be without it being Aaron Judge for Rookie of the Year, I would say it's close to that.
Who's playing first base next year, and what happens to Carlos Santana?
Well, let's get right to it, huh?
I'm not messing around. I want answers.
I anticipate that the union between Carlos Santana and the Indians is mutual. I think he wants to be here. I think they want him back. But as we all know, that's not the only factor. You know, Ken Rosenthal wrote something very recently, and he said that Santana's agents are passing out packets of information, as agencies generally do. And there are some crazy stats in there that they've found with Carlos to try and raise his value on the market. One of them being he and Joey Votto are the only two players with 400 extra base hits and 600 walks in the last 5 years, I believe it is. And anytime you're in a conversation with Joey Votto, I think your market value goes way up. I think that was one of the main things I looked at. I was like, wow, you know, maybe I underestimated what Carlos is worth on the market. I mean, the other things are generally availability and consistency. I think those things are very valued, but again, just the ability to get extra base hits and then just get on base. I mean, those 600 walks, those are basically singles without the opportunity to drive in runs. It's pretty impressive, and I think, you know, he's valued, according to SpotTrack, Carlos Santana is valued at $18 million a year, but he's also a first baseman, and he's going to be 32 at the start of the year, so I think that value comes down. But even 16 a year over, I think he would want 4 years, I think that might be out of the Indians' price range. We'll see. You never know a team's budget until, you know, they set it right by spring training, and you're kind of set in what your roster setup is, but that price tag might be ticking upwards.
All right, so if that's ticking upwards, how far does it tick, and do the Indians even consider anything here?
Well, I think Santana considers a hometown discount. I think that's their major play in this. Again, I think he wants to be here, so I think maybe 14-15 over 3 is something that works for them. But if it gets much higher than that, I don't know that they retain him. If the Boston Red Sox are in the mix, then obviously, again, that price tag goes up, and I don't know if you're able to play ball with them. So if it's not Carlos, there are other first basemen on the market. There is a lot of talent in that market this offseason, which, again, could drive down Santana's value. But at the same time, a guy like Logan Morrison, who I think he's valued at about $16 million, but he played last season on a near-minimum contract. He's a guy who you might be able to plug in if you lose Carlos, but otherwise, unless you go that Casey Kochman, Mike Napoli, just try to grab a first baseman on a one-year deal sort of track, I think Michael Brantley projects as your guy, because if you don't add anyone, then I don't think there's any need to trade Jason Kipnis. You can just put him in left field, and you can put Brantley at first base, and you don't have to worry about Brantley's injuries as much, and you're able to get Kipnis' bat in the lineup. If you add a first baseman, I think that changes the whole dynamic of the team, but I don't think there are a whole lot of external options that make a ton of sense for the Indians, given the fact that they brought on Edwin Encarnacion and some of the money they've taken on in the last couple of years. I could be wrong. Again, you don't know the team's budget. This is a window of contention that I think the ownership group values, and they see how wide open it is for them, so they can continue to spend. But just going off of the past, you got to just automatically assume that they're not out here trying to spend money.
We haven't heard the name Jay Bruce. The numbers being thrown out about Jay seem pretty high. Is he going to get those, or is he going to be sitting there watching other guys sign, he's left holding the bag, and maybe comes back here at a more reasonable rate?
Well, power is available, so I don't think 5 years, whatever, 80, 90 million or whatever the rumored price was, I don't think anyone offers that to Jay Bruce. He's a clubhouse guy. He's a stand-up guy. I mean, just the 2 months that I got to spend with the guy, he's one of a kind. But I think that dollar amount, I mean, there's no dollar amount on good guy, but what he brings to the table on the field, it's not worth that much, at least as much as the rumored asking price at the GM meetings is. I think that value comes down, but I have not thought for even 1 second since the end of the season that Jay Bruce would be back. There is no part of me that believes he will be. Maybe they offer he and Carlos Santana the same contract, and whoever takes it first gets to be a Cleveland Indian for 3-4 years. But I don't think he's back here. I think it's his last contract. He's going to go after some money, and he can get it. I mean, he had a career year. His defensive metrics are on the uptick, which with him, that was kind of a question for a long time. His power numbers, which is what he's worth, I mean, that's where he makes his money. Even that went up this season. And what he was able to do in the playoffs down the stretch for this team, I mean, he made himself a whole lot of money with the Cleveland Indians, but I don't think he's going to get more money from the Indians for that reason. I think he's just kind of played himself out of that price range.
All right, so I want to make it, I want to make sure I got it clear. What if neither one of these guys comes back, and are we looking at Brantley or are we looking at Chiz at first base?
I think Chiz in right field is your best bet defensively. I don't think Brantley's given you a whole lot in left. I mean, he knows how to play that wall, but I think it would be more sensible to have Brantley at first. Also, you have Edwin who could play over there, but he's going to remain mostly at DH. But yeah, I think Lonnie makes the most sense in right field because he's just got a cannon of an arm. He's an average fielder in right. I think he can be above average with more time out there. So I think that's what makes the most sense. But yeah, if Carlos is not back, I think you're looking at a whole lot of internal options.
Do you think Michael Brantley can ever hit the way he did a couple of years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think he can hit that way. I mean, the ankle surgery is not terribly invasive, according to the team. It's something the guys generally bounce back from quickly. The shoulder thing, I mean, he wasn't driving the ball quite like he did, you know, when he was an MVP candidate. I don't know that it matters with him. I don't think he's a guy who derives a whole lot of power from his body. I think he derives power from making good contact. I mean, it's what Francisco Lindor did. He's not a big guy, although he's a lot more muscular in person than he looks in a jersey. I can tell you that much. But Brantley's a guy who just makes great contact. And if it goes over the wall, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's not where, you know, that's not the purpose he's trying to serve in your lineup. So, I mean, if he's at first base and can conserve his body too, I think that adds a whole lot.
What about a trade? Well, and let me throw Kipnis in there, too. What are they going to do with Kipnis? And what about the odds of the Indians trying to make a trade to make themselves better?
I think there's a number of things here. Again, that goes back to Santana. Santana's back at first. Brantley can play left. That's fine. And then I think that puts Kip kind of on the block. But the problem with a Kip trade is his value is about as low as it's been in a while. I mean, he's a guy who dealt with injuries, and when he wasn't injured, he struggled a little bit at the plate. So I don't know that you're going to get a full return on a guy that's given you his whole career. It's a business, whatnot. Maybe you're in a position to make yourself better. A lot of people have talked about the Mets as a possibility, especially now that Mickey's there. Makes a lot of sense. They need a second baseman. They have kind of a wealth of talent. I think you might be able to get another starter, which I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on possibly moving Danny Salazar to the bullpen, but you have options there if that's a trade you want to make. Add some depth to the bullpen to potentially replace Brian Shaw, who I don't think he'll be back either. So, I mean, there's going to be avenues to explore, and I think Kipnis is going to be A1 on that list just because of how he's kind of out of sorts on this roster. If you need depth, he's there, and he can provide it because he's versatile, but I don't think you're going to see him playing second base anytime soon. He's just kind of, I mean, even people within the organization have said to national media members that it makes the most sense for them to have Jose Ramirez at second, and I think if you watched him play there, there's no way to disagree with that.
Hey, do you get antsy on Miller if you're trying to improve and maybe trade him? Last year of a contract?
No. I would say no. I mean, if you're out of it at the deadline, obviously, yeah. But
sure.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you can really improve your team that much in the now by trading, you know, maybe the best reliever in the game. I think you give him the offseason to recover, especially without having to pitch a ton of innings. In October, he gets that extra month. Maybe he comes back healthy. Maybe he's as dominant, maybe more dominant if that's possible. So I don't think there's a whole lot to gain there unless, again, if you can flip him for prospects, if things don't look good at the deadline, you can get a whole haul back. But, yeah, in the position they're in now, I don't think you can improve a whole lot.
Alex Hooper, our Indians beat reporter. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was therapeutic, like you said.
Good. We're just here to help, buddy.
That's why we're here, man.
Take care.
Take care, guys.
Hoop joining us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.